ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Well, the F1 title fight, it is heating up at the moment. We've been speaking a lot about the Ashes cricket. There is the Ashes on four wheels at the moment. Oscar Piastri, our very own Aussie, and Lando Norris, the Brit, who leads by 24 points in the Drivers' World Championship at the moment. The last time an Aussie won this, 1980. His name is Alan Jones, and I'm pleased to say he joins us on Summer Grandstand right around Australia. Alan, welcome.
Thank you.
What on earth has happened in this Drivers' World Championship to your eye?
Well, nothing really. I mean, it's just the ups and downs of Formula One. I mean, Formula One is such that, you know, like this coming weekend or whenever the next one is, could have a DNF. You know, he could have a non-finish, and Oscar could have win that particular event and end up back in the lead again. You know, it's just that Formula One.
It feels like two major storylines that a lot of people are tipping into is this either a Greg Norman style meltdown for Oscar Piastri, 40 points clear in the championship, all of a sudden now he's let it slip and he's fallen a fair way behind his teammate. Or, as often feels like is the storyline surrounding an Aussie when he's in a team with another driver, is there favouritism going on towards Lando that perhaps Piastri's not getting? Do you see either of those two narratives sort of standing out at this stage of the season?
No. I think it's the greatest load of nonsense of all times. Every single season, we come across this bullshit every time. You know, it's either Mark Webber against Vettel, or it's somebody. You know, it's always he's got a better car than me, or he's getting preferential treatment. It's absolute crap. I mean, these teams don't spend absolute fortunes traveling halfway around the world to stymie one car or give preference to the other. I can assure you, both these cars are getting, you know, the same sort of treatment. And I know Zach Brown very well. He's a good racer. And he'd be giving both these blokes equal chances.
Why do you think that is? Is that just the way we cover Australian athletes? Is it a lack of knowledge of the sport that perhaps a lot of casuals sort of dip in and out? Why do you think that is?
Human nature. Yeah, I think that, if it was tennis, I swear to God, they'd be saying they're giving the bloke a wrong racket or something. it's just rubbish. And then you get all the rare experts coming out of the woodwork, you know, with their opinions on this, that, and the other thing. Half of them wouldn't know one end of a car from another, but they're free to give their advice, whether it's needed or not. You know, it's just nonsense.
Mm. It's with some trepidation that I bring this to you now, then, Alan, just on the back of all of that. I had it put to me around Mexico qualifying. So Max Verstappen, who is, you know, arguably the driver of the generation, the driver of the moment anyway, Yuki Tsunoda. Q1, Q2, there's 2/100ths of a second between both of those drivers driving the same car for Red Bull. Lando and Oscar, it was in Q2 and Q3, half a second and then more than half a second in Q3 between the same car, the same McLaren. How does that happen? What's your view there?
Look, you know, we all have off days. I don't know whether Oscar had a bit of an off day there and on that weekend. There's times where, you know, you even question yourself. You think, gee, have I lost the ability to go quick? It just happens every now and again. And, you just have a little bit of trouble getting your act together and putting it together and gelling it all up. And maybe that was just a weekend for Oscar.
So I think that's the point. I mean, we feel like it's impossible that you could have that much of a mental lapse. But Oscar has really spoken to that this week on a podcast. He spoke about the fact that what happened in Monza, where papaya rules took place, and after a bad pit stop, they forced him to swap with Lando, that was in his head in Azerbaijan, and that he had a false start, then he crashed on lap one. So that can happen as a race car driver, Alan. Did you go through that where you can just lose confidence and have an off day and it can make that much of a difference?
Yes, it can, obviously. But, you know, if you're getting sort of $2 or $3 million a race, you'd like to be able to think you're above all that. But you're not, unfortunately. Every now and again, as I said before, you do have the odd weekend where you just can't get it together. And you yourself don't even know why. I mean, you know, yourself start self-doubting yourself. And then the next Grand Prix, you're up there on the front row braining them.
In what you've seen from Oscar in the back end of the season, have you felt that the moment's been too big for him or that he's felt the pressure a little bit?
No, I don't think so. I think that he's a pretty level-headed bloke, and I think he deals with pressure very well. In fact, six or seven races ago, I said that if it ever came to a mental, you know, stoush between him and his teammate, I'd back him. As it turns out, I think Lando is the one who's sort of coping with it probably a little bit better. This having that penalty given to him on the last race was a bit of a shame, which I thought was ridiculous. I mean, in my opinion, it was a racing incident. I think that when you've got 20-odd cars going into a corner on the first lap of a Grand Prix, you're always going to have wheels touching each other and a bit of banging and crashing and carrying on. And I think to force out that penalty that they've gave Oscar, which was ridiculous. And I'm not casting any aspersions or making any, you know, whatever, but, you know, it just so happens that Johnny Herbert's English and he's on the stewards. And guess what nationality Lando is? You can speculate all that until the cows come home.
Well, I guess that is a part of it, that a lot of people look at it and would say, would make the argument, rightly or wrongly, that this is a commercial sport. There's a book at the moment called Fast Money about Formula One, and there's an argument that there is a very real commercial reality to what it would mean to a British-run team, McLaren, to have a British world champion. But, Alan, someone who's lived that life, you're saying, no, that's not happening. That's not a part of it.
It's not. Certainly within the team, you know, I can assure you, you know, I had Carlos Reutemann, an Argentinian, as my teammate, and the crap that used to come through about, you know, that Williams was giving me better equipment, giving me a better car, that they weren't looking after Carlos the way they should be. And, of course, Argentinians being a little bit fiery as they are, that sort of exaggerated even more. I mean, you know, I went to the Ferrari factory a few years ago and I was almost attacked by an Argentinian. You know, I mean, it's just the people just get carried away. And when they, and half of the ones who get carried away have no idea about the sport whatsoever.
It is an unusual sport where you are teammates inside the same garage, and yet you're also competitors when it comes to the world championship race in terms of, obviously, the driver's championship. How much time and effort as a driver, Alan, goes into that, to actually trying to maintain that relationship, keep it strong, block out the outside noise? And is it important that the guys actually get along in a sport like this?
No, not at all. I never got on with my teammates. You know, at the end of the day, the first person you've got to beat is your teammate. There's no point going back to the engineer and saying, this car's a pile of pee, you know, and have him turn around to you and say, oh, really? Well, your teammate's on pole position. You know, you think, oh, you know, you look a bit of a goose. The first person you've got to beat is your teammate, because then you can start, you know, blaming the team and whatever. But no, I never really got on with my teammates. I never went out and socialised with them or anything like that at all.
It's a bit of a blow for poor old Lewis. As great as he is with his world championships, he was beaten by a teammate in Nico Rosberg in one of his world champion, or Nico's world championship. You are still very well connected, Alan. Mark Webber, the agent for Oscar Piastri, is there a chance that Oscar leaves? I know he's contracted at McLaren, but do you see a world in which he leaves at the end of this year if this does go pear-shaped?
I doubt it. I mean, where's he going to go? I mean, you know, what team is better than McLaren at the moment? You know, I mean, you wouldn't go to Ferrari. Mercedes is all hooked up. I mean, I don't know where he'd go, and I don't know of any other team that would be better than where he is.
Mm. Yep, I think that's a good note to leave it on. I think you've answered everything about as well as you can, Alan. It'll be fascinating to see what people say on the SMS line.
Just a little bonus one for you to finish on, Alan. You are Australia's last world champion, obviously, in the Formula One. Are you ready to give up that title yet?
I've been ready to give it up years ago.
Have you had much to do with Oscar?
No, not really. No, I haven't had much to do with him. Obviously, I've, you know, spoken to him a couple of times, but apart from that, no.
Did anybody speak to you about, if Oscar was to win it, being over there at the end of the year to maybe be involved in the trophy presentation or anything like that?
No, not really. I mean, at the end of the day, why would I want to fly to the other end of the earth to present a trophy?
Well, Well, we would have you on, and I'm sure every other media organisation in town would love to chat to you about
it. Oh, no, get me if they pay the money. Don't worry about that.
Alan, appreciate your time. It's been great fun. Still our last F1 World Champion. We appreciate your time.
Okay, boys, no worries. Have a good day.